In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Monday, January 31st, 2011 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It is the last day of January of this year. It's one of the first days of the latest effort to reorganize government, and Federal News Radio's Jason Miller writing about that on federalnewsradio.com. One of our top stories is this. The White House tapped two veteran staffers to lead the government reorganization project. OMB Deputy Director for Management and Chief Performance Officer Jeffrey Zients and Lisa Brown, currently Assistant to the President and Staff Secretary, will take on what could be the biggest restructuring effort in half a century. President Obama called for a reorganization of the government in last week's State of the Union address, and the administration's looking to Zients and Brown to usher the reorganization through Congress and the federal employee unions. Lawmakers took away the ability of the president to reorganize government without congressional approval in the 80s. And one person who is has done a lot of work at the Office of Management and Budget when it comes to reorganizing government and improving performance is Robert Shea, now with Grant Thornton, and my guest on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Robert, good to talk to you again.
Good to be with you, Francis.
What did you hear when you heard the president make the speech? Did you hear anything that you that sounded familiar?
I perked up. He was talking about government management, which is what I do for a living and what I've done for my entire career. So I was excited to hear him focus on improving government's performance. Nonetheless, what I heard was you're about to see a pretty comprehensive proposal to reorganize government. Turns out, we're not there yet. They're about to launch a program to research and come up with such a proposal.
Mm-hmm. The number of the things that Jason mentioned in his story, working this through Congress and working with the employee unions, were two of the issues that you dealt with when it came to trying to improve performance at agencies. What are some of the potential thorny patches in both of those areas?
In Congress, you've got multiple committees with jurisdiction over the agencies you're going to be organizing, no matter what area you're reorganizing. So any one of those committees could be a substantial roadblock on the path to getting a reorganization enacted. As far as the federal employee unions are concerned, you may have anything from a single employee union arguing with the impact of a reorganization on the employees, all the way to many different unions, leaving open the question of who will represent the employees at the new organization. In any case, negotiating with employee union leadership about the impact of these changes on the people who are doing the work just adds an enormous level of complexity.
One of the notes that Dan Pfeiffer put in the blog post at whitehouse.gov, and we'll link that up at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon, he wrote, "Our first focus will be looking at trade and exports to see how we can better reform these functions to give American companies a leg up in the global economy." Did you see any significance that that's the place that they chose to start? Did that mean anything to you?
It meant that the Center for American Progress had written a report recommending that very thing. So some smart people who have influence with the administration have already done some thinking along those lines. So I think that's where they started.
Is that the roadmap that you expect us to be able to follow as this effort goes through? I mean, that the work that CAP has done is likely the work that's going to influence this effort?
No. Well, I think it's pretty narrowly focused on this one report that they've done, and that Jeff Zients and his team will need to start looking at other areas that haven't gotten the same sort of scrutiny.
Because the president mentioned a number of different potential avenues that they could go down to try to get this rolling. There are certainly no shortage of places where one, at least from the outside looking in, might think there's room for consolidation and elimination of duplication.
GAO's done a lot of work listing the areas where duplication exists and where there's an opportunity for improved coordination. It's my understanding they're updating that work. So I expect in the next several weeks you'll see a good deal of grouping of the government by GAO that I think will be a good source of information for Zions to look to. Of course, you've got food safety, you've got community and economic development, you've got business development outside of the export and trade area. There's really no area of government that's addressed by a single unit. In every case, almost without exception, you've got multiple players trying to contribute in some part to the same area. So there's no shortage of opportunities. The question will be where they decide to focus.
You mentioned GAO, and I talked to the newly confirmed permanent comptroller general, Gene Dodaro, a couple of weeks ago, whose only shortcoming in the short view seems to be that he's a tireless Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I won't hold that against him.
That's not his only shortcoming.
Well,
no, I'm kidding.
No, that's terrible.
He knows off the top of his head anything that's ever been done by GAO as long as he's been there. He's as knowledgeable a guy on this topic, he could come up with a reorganization plan for government in about an hour and a half. So he's a great resource for OMB and Jeff Zients.
And that's one of the things that I talked about with him, and he expressed an interest when we talked about his priorities for the agency in playing just that role in kind of codifying their research work into materials that would be good for OMB to use when it came to this reshaping effort. Now that I know what you think of Gene, it kind of takes away my next question, which was, what's that mean for OMB to get that kind of input from GAO?
So he and I, Gene and I and many others at GAO, have had a real strong personal relationship for a long time. Served me really well at OMB. I knew that their work was reliable and trustworthy, so when they made a recommendation, I knew that it had the benefit of great thought and research. I know OMB has that same relationship with GAO. I know Gene Dodaro and Jeff Zients sit down together regularly to talk about what's on their minds. So I'm sure there'll be a seamless transition and a great continuing reliance by OMB on GAO's work.
Talk about what the agencies might expect I mentioned that the White House is looking at trade first, and so the agencies that are involved in trade are probably sitting there today thinking, uh-oh, what are we going to get from OMB and when are we going to get it? For the agencies that wind up being associated with some of these reform efforts as they start to roll out, having been the person who was coming to the agency saying we're here from OMB and we're here to help you work better, what do you think these people at these agencies will be hearing on the other end, and what's the best response to make sure that this really rolls out the way that it should?
Agencies, first instinct will be to resist consolidation because you lose power and control over your own entity, potentially, when you are combined with another organization. There's a big question about the size of the organization after it's been consolidated and whether you need the same number of people after that consolidation. All those things mean people are very nervous about it, and therefore instinct makes them fight to preserve the status quo. It'll behoove OMB and the president to consult not only with these organizations and their leadership, but the employees, their stakeholders, unions. It'll be very important to keep the lines of communication open so they understand what's going on and how the administration is trying very hard to minimize any negative impact it would have on people. Of course, the ultimate goal is to improve the performance of these entities. So the number one question you have to ask is the benefit you're going to achieve worth the cost of the reorganization? Reorganizations aren't without cost. They're very difficult to achieve, seemingly impossible when you begin this path. So you need to really calculate clearly what benefit is going to result from the consolidation.
Robert Shea of Grant Thornton is my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. A reminder that later on in hour number one of the program, we're going to listen into a House Armed Services Committee hearing from last Wednesday on reorganization and budget reform at the Department of Defense. Continue my conversation with Robert in just a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Top levels of the federal government are talking about agile software development. If you are a federal program manager and would like to explore this topic with your peers, come to a free February breakfast forum brought to you by Solutions Developers. Our speaker will be Jim York, nationally known Scrum trainer at AFEI headquarters near the Courthouse Metro, and you'll be out by 9 a.m., moderated by me, John Gilroy. More details at AFEI.org, and then click on events.
Hi, this is Jim Fleisig. Please join me on Tuesday, February 1st at 12 noon for my monthly series, The Federal Executive Forum. Our program this month will focus on critical issues facing government and industry in cybersecurity. The panel includes government leaders from DHS, U.S. Cyber Command, and NIST. Don't miss the Federal Executive Forum on Tuesday, February 1st at noon right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com.
Sponsored by Lockheed Martin, McAfee, and CA Technologies.
When the temperatures get dangerously cold this winter, Independence Court of Hyattsville assisted residents suggest to visit the home of a senior citizen and make sure their heater is working properly and that they are comfortable. This caring reminder is brought to you by the staff and residents at Independence Court of Hyattsville assisted residents, providers of assisted living services for the last 10 years. Their staff is completely dedicated to the senior community. Call 301-699-7900 for Independence Court of Hyattsville assisted living residents.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Eric.
Egypt's chief of the military was here in Washington when all of the drama broke out at home with growing anti-government protest. Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General James Cartwright, said that Egypt's Lieutenant General Sami Hafez Annan flew home just 2 days after he arrived for meetings in Washington. Annan was in the U.S. for the highest-level strategic talks each year between Washington and Cairo, another reason why the United States was nervous about what's going on in Egypt. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? Eric is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, Eric recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. Open government and WikiLeaks. The open government community, very concerned those leaks are undermining open government and transparency. We'll talk to one of the key open government advocates. And those improper TSP payments last month, what's the TSP board doing to prevent it from happening again? We'll find out this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Robert Shea of Grant Thornton, and as we continue our conversation on reorganizing government, the White House announcing over the weekend that Jeffrey Zients would be the point man for reorganizing government, as President Obama talked about in the State of the Union speech. Before, Robert, we continue our conversation, I want to call everybody's attention to the top story now on federalnewsradio.com. And the headline says it all. D.C. feds can take unscheduled telework or leave on Tuesday. The Office of Personnel Management announcing just moments ago that conditions will be highly variable because of an approaching storm and may include ice, sleet, and freezing rain. To protect the safety of federal workers, our community, and maintain continuity of operations and assist employees in planning accordingly, we're announcing for Tuesday, February 1st, the option of unscheduled leave or telework. Now's the time for managers and employees to discuss the possibility of working from home on Tuesday. Uncertain weather conditions could extend through Wednesday. OPM will update the operating status as needed and appropriate. And you can learn more about what OPM is saying at federalnewsradio.com. And all the details that you need as things manifest themselves as we learn more about the weather system that's approaching. Did you have a rough commute last week, Robert, when you were headed trying to get home during the storm, or what was going on there for you?
I posted on my Facebook page that I was delighted to live a mile from the office and drive an all-wheel drive vehicle.
Oh, you lucky dog.
So I was, it was about 5 minutes. And I felt really badly for the people backed up a mile and a half on the opposite side of the road.
Pretty amazing stuff. And OPM making a move to try to prevent that from happening again if we get the ice storm that is expected. Back to what we were talking about before the break about Jeffrey Zients' reorganization effort.
The number two story.
Yes, that's right. It's becoming the number two story now, with now that the unscheduled telework, unscheduled leave orders come out from OPM. The idea that reorganization, first of all, comes at a price, and second of all, may or may not always be the most cost-effective choice, I thought was interesting. When you mentioned that a few minutes ago, it occurred to me, I guess people automatically assume that any kind of reorganization or reform effort is automatically good and is automatically going to result in savings or other benefits, and that may not be the case.
That's right. You talked about the impact on employees and the impact on Congress. The simple cost of getting a proposal enacted is high. The amount you have to invest in persuading people to do it is really hard. While you're doing that, employees are wondering what the impact will be on them. And especially if you don't communicate with them clearly and constantly throughout this process, their morale suffers. And so their performance may also suffer. When you actually get around to consolidating these entities, you have a diminished focus on performance as well. So all of those things have a short-term cost that needs to be worth the benefit. The benefit, of course, is that you have everybody on the same team, in the same organization, rowing in the same direction. You can do that much more easily under the same roof, using that metaphorically, than you can if they're in disparate organizations.
You and I have talked before about this subject, and we only have a minute or so left, but some maybe bullet points for trying to bring some resistors on, folks who are not quite sure that what is about to happen is going to benefit them.
The reason people come to work in government is for the mission. So you need to emphasize very clearly and measurably what the benefit on the mission will be. And also articulate very clearly what steps you're taking to minimize the impact, the negative impact, on the people most affected.
Robert, great to talk to you as always. And as this reorganization effort continues, we'll look to your experience to have you help us understand what is happening and what may be about to happen to folks at the agencies. Thanks very much for being on the show today.
Thanks a lot for having me, Francis.